I'm wondering if we can flesh out what the issue with the remuneration report was. Clearly, it looks like one of the proxy advisors has taken an issue. I presume it's probably with John's pay, so I'd be interested in finding out what the issue was. Also, well done for putting him up for election, because CEOs don't have to face a poll. A lot of them, like Sol Trujillo, don't bother. Rupert Murdoch wasn't elected for 40 years at News Corp using that exemption, so well done for at least subjecting him to the vote. I'm interested as to whether he'll be serving a full term as CEO, given that he's, in terms of his length of service, he's getting a bit long in the tooth. And you often have a problem with CEOs who make a pile, and John's now the happy shareholder of 16 million Austar shares. He's not on the BRW rich list, but I do a rich list of anyone worth more than 10 million, so he's on mine. I'm just wondering, given that he's made his pile, whether he's actually committing to serve as a full 3-year term as a director and as the CEO.
Let me just add in two roles, one as chairman of the meeting today and also chairman of the Remuneration Committee. We have been very conscious of succession planning in the company, and that goes at all levels, not just at the John level. After the expiration of the recent long-term incentive plan, I looked John in the eye and said, well, what do you want to do and how long are you going to be here for? And I was very reassured by his comments. I mean, John is a very active guy. Whilst he likes playing golf, I can't see him doing that more than once a week. He wants to continue to work for many years to come and has committed to effectively doing that with this company, for which we're very pleased. The point I wanted to make on the depth of the bench here is that we are always looking at succession planning at all levels, and including John's. And part of the comments that part of the purpose of the new remuneration policy that we've implemented is to dig deeper into the organisation and spread the opportunity of appreciation wider to engender that very solid underpinning of executives to come through. So, I don't know whether I can answer your question sufficiently, but don't know, John, whether you'd like to pledge yourself for the rest of your life or?
Yeah, sure. Two comments. One is I have recently signed a new 4-year contract, so I'm very committed to seeing Austar through the next phase of its evolution. Secondly, I am aware that there was a question of one of the proxy advisors relative to the remuneration report, in that they believe that management incentive is better aligned with net profit as opposed to operating cash flow. So we're very strongly of the view, and it is underpinned by advice that we've gotten from Mercer Compensation and Benefits Consulting, that in a growth company such as ours, that operating cash flow is the best measure of this company's performance, and that management's incentive should be aligned with operating cash flow. And if you look at the linkage between operating cash flow and shareholder returns, in the period of 2003 to 2008, February 03 to February 08, Austar delivered the 8th highest return for shareholders in the country, and excluding commodity companies, the highest during a period of time in which its operating cash flow improved substantially. I can't remember the number off the top of my head, but essentially going from 30 million to 200 million. So there is a very strong linkage there. We think it's the right answer, but I think that's the nature of the against votes.
Okay. Any other questions out there?